Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I guess I deserve it. Just went down to my car, came back, accosted by a woman for my wearing shorts and sandals. Not approve.
The sandals are a bit much.
Do you still think this means I'm dressing like a jerk?
Yes.
Because I'm wearing shorts?
Yes. Absolutely.
I love that.
Yes.
I love that it could be like sort of a... You know, what am I doing by wearing shorts?
Although
sort of
today,
like flipping off everybody? Is that what I'm doing?
I don't know. You're that. Didn't we talk about this with Eric with the two gloves golf guy thing last? Was that us? Again, Baker Mayfield and Allen had a thing where they were tossing barbs at each other.
I don't remember that.
And the two golf gloves was a thing. Oh, did I maybe visit? I talked about this with Nate. It was me and Nate, I think, one day. Okay. You weren't here.
Yeah, maybe Eric then, because I missed a day with
Eric.
Yeah,
that's right. He was rescheduled.
Well, you got him.
Yeah, anyway. It's warmer today, but like the other day, Eric, it was like 36 degrees, and my guy here is in shorts and like sandals.
Honestly, what's the difference between 36 and 50?
I mean, a lot is different about that, in my opinion. I'm playing golf in 50 and sunny. I'm not playing golf in 36-degree weather. Now, If it's hot inside the studio and you're uncomfortable in there because you're warm, or if you guys are doing this from home, but I think you do it in studio most of the time.
Yes,
most of the time, yes.
I mean, there's a lot of guys at the facility with the Bills that wear sandals or shorts or whatever to work just because you're going to be inside most of the day, and I get that.
You're in Florida. I bet you're not, you know, bundled up.
Yeah.
I am in shorts and sandals myself. I was going to make a joke, but I didn't really want to rub it in all that. But
yeah, Bulldog. Well, the other day it was cold. Like there was like frost on my truck, right? And he's in shorts and sandals, and we talked about it. And I said, I think you look like a jerk.
A jerk.
I think you're the guy that people will like. Look at this jerk. Look at this guy. What is this guy trying to prove? Shorts guy.
Exactly.
In the winter.
That's exactly it. Like, what are you trying to prove? What are you compensating for?
Wait, what?
Just kidding.
I'm working in a studio for hours every day that's in the 80s. It's got to be 80 degrees in here always. The lights are right in my face. I don't know. I thought they were going to fix the carpet this week.
I don't know. I managed to wear pants.
Now that all these conversations are recorded, you guys put out all those great Instagram clips and YouTube videos and whatnot, I'm assuming the lights get hotter when they're making their faces glow the way they are.
I'm super pumped about the number of videos that might be circulating out there of me talking about how much I trusted Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown against Houston's defensive ends last night. That's not going to leave a mark.
You were at least loyal, Bulldog. You were at least loyal.
Eric, how in the world... Maybe you and Chris were rolling your eyes when I said that to you guys last night during the roundtable. I don't know. But how in the world do you watch that game unfold and not give those guys some more help than they did? That's the most frustrating thing to me about the game by a lot is that I missed on expecting them to perform better, but that there wasn't a plan in case it went badly.
No, I'm with you. And I said that throughout the broadcast, like, okay, we need to adjust the plan. They did at one point. I remember two chips, one Dawson Knox in particular, Knox Will Anderson. He goes all the way around the defensive tackle to try and find a new rush lane. Well, that just gives Josh an easy escape out to the right. they had a nice play there. And I said, well, okay, we'll get back to that. And oftentimes you don't need a double chip. Sometimes you do, but oftentimes you don't need a double chip unless it's a really long developing route, because like we've talked about here on the show so many times, it often takes two guys to get a sack. Like, two guys got to win as defensive linemen for there to be a true sack on the play, unless it's circumstances, I'll just say that. If it's third and long and quarterback's trying to make a play, okay. But like a first, second down, normal third and medium, it generally takes two guys. So if you chip one of the defensive ends, now the quarterback's really only worried about one of them. With that chip, we essentially get two double teams. So two guys only have to win a one-on-one. Well, last night was a different animal. Those two guys were flying off the edge. It seemed like they were able to jump the count consistently. You know, Josh Allen talked about the fourth and one play with the call coming in late and them just being right at the edge of that play clock. Well, the defensive line, good defensive linemen are in their stance, or they're in a two-point stance watching the play clock.
Right.
Like, okay, well, you got 3 seconds left. Whatever's coming, there's your count, and I'm jumping it, and it makes it extremely difficult on those tackles, especially when it's a silent cadence on the road where you're all going off the same movement of the center or guard. And so, yeah, those guys wreaked havoc last night. I said it on the roundtable. I thought they were the best duo, not individually, the best duo of edge rushers in the NFL. But I also would say that we have one of the best tackle tandems in the league. And last night they beat us. Now, part of it, Spencer Brown hurt his shoulder, and good on him for gutting it out there. But that's a really tough matchup with either of those guys if you're playing with one arm.
Yeah.
And you could tell he was. So you give a guy credit like that. I mean, Spencer Brown's been paid very well in this league. If he bowed out, no one would say anything, but he's the type of guy that says, I'll try and grind this out. They ended up taking him out late for Ryan Vandermark, and we'll see what Sean says in regards to if he's day-to-day, week-to-week, or whatever else with his updates today. But, yeah, those guys, they give a lot of teams fits. We just gave them a lot of opportunities, and then you combine that with the fact that for a lot of the game, we didn't have great early down production, and we're in obvious pass rush situations where those guys can just tee off.
You tripped a wire for me with the fourth and one and the play coming in late, because maybe that's a factor in one thing I noticed looking back at it. Because I know those plays, you know, they've tried to throw out of that and it didn't work. And so it's like, why not just give the ball, sneak it? Why is Cook not on the field? So they hand it to Cook and it gets blown up. Looking at that play from behind the Bills' offense, right? So end zone view behind the Bills, it's plainly out. There's nobody in front of McGovern on that play. And I'm trying to figure out in my head why Allen doesn't just see that and take the snap. You don't have to tell anybody. Just follow McGovern. And maybe they could have a sign. Maybe you could tell us if that's something that you'd have. You know, some sort of tap he can give him or whatever. But even if he doesn't, like, it's just green in front of McGovern. Is the play getting in late maybe a reason why he doesn't feel like he can pivot to something else?
Certainly, that could be the case. And we've been through this. I've never played in Joe Brady's offense, so I actually enjoy that, because I never feel like if I'm making a take, I'm ever giving away the company secrets, because right. I'm not in the meeting rooms with them and I never played his offense. From past offenses I've played in, you always have some type of, oh my gosh, they gave us this look, and you'd get under center, make a call, and the receivers, nobody needs to know it except for the quarterback and O-line. Like, we'd run that at times, and the running back's fooled. He's on his track to his, you know, run. The receivers are out blocking like it's an outside run or whatever it was, and then we just run the sneak for first. The most egregious one ever, and one of my favorite plays of my career, we had 3rd and 7 against the Eagles at home. That was when the Eagles had the dream team. Ryan Fitzpatrick's our quarterback. I believe this is 2011.
Sounds right.
And it's 3rd and 6 or 3rd and 7. They have only Nnamdi Asamoah in the box. He's covering Fred Jackson because at the time he was our leading receiver. So he's the only one in the box. We have 2 wide 3 techniques. And Fitz walks through the line of scrimmage like he's going to point to the mic. And our QB sneak at the time was called Doug. So he taps him and he goes, Doug. I'm assuming he's under center at this point. I snap it like an under center snap. He follows me. I block Asamoah. He runs for 9 yards, and we seal the game. I mean, if that fails, Fitz is booed out of the stadium. It's 3rd and 7, and we run a QB sneak for 7 yards. I say that to prove a point that in most offenses, you can get to that.
Yeah, I'm looking at it again just to refresh my memory. Not that the whole game comes down to this, but you know, it's a fourth down, and they're in scoring territory there, right on the edge of it, right on the edge of the red zone, I think. And I just don't – I can't fathom why something else didn't happen there. Like, I understand, well, like, a different play call being made, but on the field, I can't understand what happened there.
To your point, in the moment, I felt like that was likely the game. It was just so hard to move the football. You're down in their territory. This is a defense that gives up 260 yards a game. We have terrible field position the whole night. It was going to be tough to score points. And I thought there we needed 7. Like, when we didn't get that, I did not feel good about our chance of winning. I understand we had other chances. But in that moment, I felt like you did, where it's like, well, there's the game, because that was our opportunity. We needed to do that. And forever, New England – when they were rolling with Tom Brady on 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1, they had one play call that essentially could be 3 different things. The play call was a QB sneak. If everyone's packed in, alert, alert, it's an off-tackle run. As soon as we think you expect that, it's either a play action or even back to the QB sneak. So it might be a fake alert, whatever it is, and then they would get back. And that's from talking to coaches on their staff. They're like, we essentially had one third down call. It could just be 3 different things.
Eric Wood on the Wester Hotline. Eric, what's the, in your mind, the state of the union here after that loss? I mean, I'm not sure you'd find it shocking. You know how it, you probably know how it is in here. I think the caller we took last before talking to you referenced the Titanic. I don't know if you would go that far.
That's extreme.
It's extreme. 7-4, though. Next week's game got a lot bigger at Pittsburgh with this loss. New England-Cincinnati Sunday will be watched closely. Pittsburgh-Chicago. Like, we're sort of relying on the other teams now a little bit. But just within the Bills, how much stress is there, or even panic?
I don't know that there's panic, because they've been in this position so many times over the last 5 years. And it's worked out. So you think, okay, we could do it again. I would say there's not panic, but there's an extreme sense of urgency. Like, okay, our margin for error on wins and losses is out the window. I would say this year, maybe even more than previous years, based upon injuries and the makeup of the roster, our margin for error is less just within a game than it usually is. You know, it's, you know, in the past, it's we had a couple turnovers, we overcame it. We had a bunch of penalties. We overcame it. We had terrible field position, and the offense went for 500 yards. Right now, I just feel like with the offense kind of on a roller coaster ride, the defense being banged up and having their struggles, if special teams has a bad week, if we get a bunch of penalties, we have a couple turnovers, we just don't have as much a margin for error, if that makes sense. And so I would say there's a lot of urgency. But we have so many guys that have been in the locker room when we were 5-5 a couple of years, or what was that, 2 years ago.
6-6.
And
yeah.
We've been, 6-6. We've been in similar positions and come back to win the division and all that. And I think collectively as a Bills fan base, and myself included, we thought last year of high mark, all the continuity and everything we got coming back, we want to host some playoff games in the final year of our stadium. And the fact that that might not end up being a reality, I mean, it hurts. To the point where this isn't going to happen. But my son was born on January 11th. If we were hosting a playoff game, wild card weekend, we would host a playoff game on his birthday. And one of his Christmas wishes was to bring his friends to a Bills home playoff game. Like, my son just assumes we host playoff games every year because we do, because we have pretty much since he's been alive. But that's not going to happen, just for the record. That's a very expensive birthday trip. But all that being said, I think all of us are thinking, wow, we might not get a playoff game at Highmark in the final season at the old stadium.
Yeah, right. We spent a lot of time in the summer, you know, when we would, you know, get into conversations about that Jet game, the final game, you know, not knowing it's the final game because of, you know, the playoffs. That's on the ropes right now.
Ticket prices might be going up on the Jet game. Right.
It's really, really tough.
Yeah, they could be going up, and then, you know, who knows what happens. You get the dance. The AFC is so wide open right now. You know, Denver doesn't look unbeatable. Colts don't look unbeatable. Kansas City's on the outside looking in right now. You feel like if you get in the dance and you get hot, you could if we don't have critical injuries down the stretch, I have full confidence that this Bills team can come out of the AFC if they get in the dance, even if they have to go on the road. But there could be upsets to where they end up hosting playoff games there.
That's what's been on my mind since last night's game ended, or even before it ended. Like, what are we looking at here? Because it's always two things. It's always the standings, but also, do they look like a team that can really do it? And last night, they did not. I mean, not being able to protect the quarterback is kind of a new one for them, for all the other challenges that we've seen this year. Defensively, like, I don't know if they could hold up. I thought, Eric, last night, I don't know if I want to, you know, expect you to sort of go with me on this, but in the first half, Mills was off on like every pass. And he had guys, he completed four maybe, but it was just like not happening there. Like, you have to win here. And the last drive of the first half was, I mean, I just couldn't believe it that Houston was able to score so easily, even with like they burn a timeout with the clock stopped at 12 seconds or 8 seconds, whatever that was, and they still score. Like, Cam Lewis is falling down. I don't know. I mean, I'll try to spin it the other way and say that, like, so many of the Bills' losses these last few years, they're right there. 4th and 1, minute left, down 4. Like, I wouldn't want to have bet against them in that spot, but it didn't happen. So I think if you look at it that way, at least, you can be optimistic.
For sure. And, yeah, Davis Mills starts the game 1 for 8 and then goes 7 for 8 to end the half, and they go into the halftime with a lead. And, no, I'm with you. I mean, this team doesn't generally lose the backup quarterbacks. They don't generally lose to Tua. Penix has a career game against us. But then you see flashes from this defense. You know, the second half they give up 3 points. That's only off the Shakir fumble, and they forced 4 3-and-outs in the second half. Like, it's good football. I mean, that's what you could say, like, that's what you should do against a backup quarterback. But over the last couple weeks, Davis Mills has had 280 yards plus in both games, or 279 plus in both games. So, capable thrower of the football. But it's the defense, just like the offense, is kind of a roller coaster ride right now.
Yeah. Your opinion on that Houston defense. I said earlier, Eric, I don't watch, and I'm sure you don't either, every game every week, right? This whole window where the Bills have been a championship contending level team. But that's maybe the best defensive performance I've seen in any game that I've watched in 5 or 6 years since the Bills have gotten to the level they're at. I mean, that was just all levels, right? I mean, the secondary taking it away, punching the ball out on Shakir, like you referenced. Up front, the tackles were good. The edge guys are elite. I mean, that was really something to watch.
No, they're an excellent unit. And not even in a creative way. Now, they did play more downhill. They had some more run blitzes on first and second down when we got in heavier looks than you generally see from Houston's defense. But from top to bottom, they are complete. They are excellent at corner, both of them. They are excellent off the edges. Best duo of corners in the league, the best duo of pass rushers off the edge of the league. Their linebackers are built for this day and age of football where they can fly around. They're a little undersized, but they get in passing lanes. They're active. Safeties are good. Their nickel is one of the top nickels in the league. He was out for the game.
Right.
But when he comes back, Petrie, when he comes back, he's great. I thought the weakness was their defensive tackles, but they're both active to where they could rush the passer. If they move, they could beat you. They're not going to run right through you. You know, we saw Tim Settle here.
Right.
And, you know, he wasn't a factor with us, And then Sheldon Rankins, he was a top 12 pick out of my college, Louisville. Good player. You know, he's drafted right when the undersized Aaron Donald defensive tackle became popular, probably overdrafted, if I'm being honest, even though I really like him. But he's bounced around some. But, you know, he's a smaller guy. And so you think, like, okay, well, we could take advantage of that, but they're so good at all three levels, it's hard to take advantage of those two defensive tackles.
No conversation of ours with Eric Wood this time of year would be complete if not some reference to or question about the Thanksgiving weigh-in contest. So
I like it.
Are we doing that? What's the plan this year?
I'm not sure. Probably not. I'm down in Florida with the family. I travel every weekend for work, so I'd love nothing more this weekend. My wife won't tune into this. I sound like you guys will tune into the broadcast. My wife's tired of hearing my voice anyways. But I would love nothing more than to sit in Louisville this weekend and do nothing. My wife wanted to get out of the house, which I completely understand. So we're going to spend some time out in Florida. We come back Wednesday. I don't know. It depends. I just feel like I'm going to eat and drink for the next 5 days. And come Thursday, I'm not going to want to stuff my face and see if I can gain 15 pounds. But we have talked about, me and Richie have talked about having a reunion and getting our families together for Thanksgiving like we always did up in Buffalo. But I will say, we miss our Buffalo holidays because we always hosted at our house. And you get people from all over the country and people with different backgrounds, and everyone's got a different style of Thanksgiving or Christmas, and they bring different dishes, and everyone has a blast. And I will admit, we definitely miss those times.
Yeah, you know, right? I mean, I think that that's probably the thing about being an ex-player that you would miss the most is, well, it could be anyway, just that sort of camaraderie with teammates and friends and everything. So not to make it sad. Well, enjoy Florida. Happy Thanksgiving, Eric, and we will talk next a week from Monday.
Sounds good. You guys have a great Thanksgiving as well and a great rest of the week.
Thank you.
Thanks, dude. Eric Wood, his appearance here on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
How about the ref getting hurt?
I can't recall that happening.
I've seen hockey refs get cut.
But the cart came out for the ref.
The report from a few minutes ago is his Achilles was not torn. Oh, get back out there.
Right?
Who's Terry McCauley? Like, get out there. Come on. Didn't you take an oath? He's in the booth up there all like, I don't know, was it clear and obvious? Was this guy's injury not clear and obvious? Get out there. We need a referee. I thought the time was now to start holding constantly. Maybe they did.
Yeah. But no, I don't know. Did anybody have like a running clock of like real time of how long the third quarter actually took? Because it felt like that third quarter. Is it Saturday yet? Like, I just could not believe how interminably long that third quarter seemed. And nothing happened. Like, right. There's injuries. Is that when the ref got hurt? Like, just was one calamity after another. And holy moly, that just took forever.
I had under 43, and halftime was 20-16. And at some point after that long third quarter, I'm like, you know what? I'm not dead yet. Yeah, I'm not dead yet. Right. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, at 803-0550. Football Friday. Lines are open for you for the next hour. We'll be back in a snap. This break is brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's not fun. I ran into a couple myself. I got to be better with throwing the ball away and living to see another down and letting us play some situational football and pinning them deep. And too many times I was going backwards, and I got to be better on that.
Josh Allen says it's not fun. I mean, he could be referring to many different things there. A lot of things are not fun. But probably getting hit constantly this year, last night, quintessentially, is not fun. It really is a new issue, isn't it? I mean, Allen has been so good at avoiding sacks. And, I mean, last year he never got sacked or turned the ball over. And we still complained, I think, largely.
Sure we did.
Because there wasn't enough upside in their offense, maybe.
That's the factory we've chosen to live our lives in.
I think maybe I'm guilty of this. I know I've been thinking it. That win over Tampa meant that we glossed over a lot of weird mistakes and misses of his in that game, like overthrows.
Oh, sure, because it's welcome back chaos, Josh. Like, we'll take the good with the bad. Yeah, I'll trade you an interception if it means I'm going to get, you know, big downfield explosive plays. Those really do, in reality. It's not just a theory. They help you overcome your mistakes. You know, you just get the lightning strike, bam. So, yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, and it's funny, like you want to circle back on it now, right? This got said during the week. It's like, you know, and even yesterday or the day before, somebody brought up, you know, him willing to, you know, throw it deep, or even philosophically, right, that they took shots. Well, the Shavers play was a scramble drill. That was not, and so that was not a called play. And Shavers, I think, even said he broke their own rules by going where he went. But Allen loved it and threw it and the touchdown and woo, right. The other two big passing plays in the game are running backs. He's not
right.
We wanted there to be, and there were other throws to receivers in the game. A lot of guys had 20-yard or more receptions against Tampa, not just Cook and Ty Johnson, and even Terrell Shavers. There's three or four other guys who also had that level of reception in the game. But I think we wanted there to be more confirmation that they were back. You know, because that's going to make us feel good, and we want to believe that that's where they could be living. And I don't know, you know, you think back on it now, and like I just laid it out, it sounds a little more, I don't know, a little harder to substantiate that was emblematic of them being back in some substantial way.
Yeah, and I did not, I want to say, buy it that they were either. Like, it's just not that kind of league, right? I mean, if you spend, and we're really in the center of it, I think, you know, or one version of the center of it, how we're spending 5 days a week immersed in debate about whether their surrounding talent is good enough. One game is not going to move you. It shouldn't move you off of your position. Like, and, you know, people can criticize you for that. Didn't you? You know, are you inflexible? Did you not see the game? Like, oh, this kind of questioning, and I'm not saying I got that, but it's just, it really shouldn't be enough. I did not feel great about last night. I didn't appreciate how fierce Houston's defense can be. I even have this Bullard in fantasy and didn't start him because I didn't know who he was. And he had three takeaways.
He caused the fumble. I don't know if he recovered the fumble, okay. But he had the two picks. And he forced the fumble.
I did have the Houston defense scoring a touchdown that almost happened.
Yeah, that was close.
Was I rooting for it? I won't say. Zach is with us. Hi, Zach.
Hey, I find myself like looking forward after a night like last night, going to bed in frustration with just the state of the roster, just guys they've paid and drafted who, you know, I've grown to like, but I'm just like, are these like C plus players on B plus contracts? There's just no crazy superstar. You know, you got four guys starting that were on the 2017, 2018 teams, and like the Poyers and Trey White and Jordan Phillips of the world. I'm just like, I find myself frustrated with Brandon Bean and what he's done, and just the, you know, lack of cap space and not much to show for it. I get going big with Von Miller's a couple years ago and whatnot, but he's really, and then throw it with not surrounding Josh with talent. I mean, this is just an embarrassment. I don't know if you guys caught this, but last week after the Tampa game, Pegula celebrated 100 wins between McDermott and Bean, and it was some sort of like awkward exchange between the two of them. You know, if it ever came to a split, I'd probably take Sean's side. I just think Brandon's done a mediocre job on the draft, and he's decent at negotiating and signing guys. But where's the major hit, Ben? He's got more losses, and more misses, and more mediocre picks than he does hits. And I know the draft is hard, but, I mean, I don't know. I just find myself very lost and frustrated. And then the whole Joe Brady thing as well. I don't even know. You wake up and you're like, we're 7-4, though. Like, they still got to look at this.
Yep.
But do they really? I don't know. And I don't want to watch Josh run around. My biggest fear is he gets hurt. Look at the hit yesterday that could have been. Yeah. That's all.
Good points. I didn't see this video you're talking about.
I did, and I didn't notice anything awkward about it.
Okay.
Myself, but I didn't study it.
McDermott did not have any time for D'Amico Ryans last night. That was very, you know, you usually see coaches, they put the play sheet over their mouth so you can't hear or can't read their lips.
Yeah.
You know, but that was just like a brush off handshake. He might have been pretty ticked off.
Yeah. I turned it off before they even got to that.
Well, that's, you know, you probably got a hockey game to watch or something.
I usually do want to see that stuff, but I didn't bother.
You go to a concert after the game?
That Ryans does have he is one, that's one tight shirt.
Well, McDermott can't be upset about other guys wearing tight shirts.
No, I know. I did say that yesterday, too, but you always ask me, and last night, the best I could do yesterday was like, I got to see how tight this guy's shirt is. And he not only is the shirt tight, but he's got to have the arms folded so that the knuckles are behind the biceps, and he's, you know, just like, look at me, I could still play.
You almost never see him talk either.
Just I don't need you to look like you could still play, dude. You're the coach. I don't need you on the sidelines imploring your crowd to get loud. Leave that to your offensive players when your defense is on the field.
You're a couple of days late.
Like, what are you, 9? Just knock it off.
We could have used this.
I know. I'm sorry. I should have studied.
But you know, you see, the Bills beat everybody, and these coaches that the Bills beat, they just come up to McDermott, and it's like a love fest. They just sort of hug him and talk to him forever, and McDermott loses to Houston. He's like, bye. I don't think that he's like
mad
necessarily
at him.
Like a type when it comes. Like, I don't think I'm not saying he's a sore loser, but it's noticeable when the handshake is not even like a second long. Because often coaches, like, they hang out. Bowls, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see that last week, or did you go to a hockey game? He sort of hugs, and they talk forever and cover their mouths and that whole thing. Like, why can't that wait even?
He could do that in the tunnel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think when there's, you know, it's why we draw conclusions about those interactions. You'd assume that there is genuine affection and respect on both sides between Bowles and McDermott. And maybe there isn't between Ryan and Ryans and McDermott. Maybe there's something, their paths cross at some point, and there's a lack of respect there.
There might be times when you're like, as a coach, I can't believe I lost to this guy. You know, it's Dukakis in the SNL skit with Bush. The show has never sounded older. I can't believe I'm losing to this guy. Lovitz, right? Maybe McDermott has a little bit of that. I mean, I wouldn't blame him. Just how are we losing? Because isn't this the fans? How are we losing to this team?
Yeah,
the Bills are so good. They've been so good that anytime there's a game like that where they're under constant duress, and there it is, a minute left, and they're at the 20.
How do you lose a game where you get that 4th-and-27 prayer to work? How do you not just go win the game from there? You should just win. They should be demoralized. 4th-and-27. I mean, what the hell? And it into the bag you go, and like, credit to Brady. That worked. It's the best play call the whole night.
Well, it wasn't too cute.
It was definitely cute.
It worked, so it wasn't too cute.
The huge cuteness quotient on that play. But holy cow. You should win 100 games out of 100 if you get a play like that. I mean, I know it's not a direct correlation, but it's just like, come on.
Ugh. You know what else? Help me out here. First and 10 after that play, incomplete to Davis. Davis played. Incomplete to Davis. Second and 10, Johnson left end for 9. And I thought maybe he got it. There was one of these plays last night where somebody sort of tiptoed. It wasn't this play, a different play. Somebody tiptoes to the sideline. I thought they got the first down, and I thought to myself, you'd rather be short. Because second and one is the best play in football. And this ended up being third and one. They called Johnson short at the sideline.
Right.
It must have been marked inbounds because the Bills called a timeout. I'm fuzzy on this now.
Yes, they did. Yeah.
So I'm third and one at the 17. Like, that's better. Because now I can get my automatic Allen run.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
And time, you want to run the clock all the way out?
I've got a timeout.
The field goal could still tie you if you get the touchdown and the extra point.
Right, I mean, it's late, but sure.
Sure, but yeah, I mean, if there's 20 seconds left, I think we're still biting our nails.
I just like that they ended up on that, after that Johnson run, at third and one instead of first and 10. Because now I can have my sneak or whatever else, I can play action off it. I can run Mark Andrews in a whirly gig move and walk into the end zone. I mean, this is advantage me, third and one with a timeout left at the 17-yard line. Everything that happened last night, throw it out. I'm third and one at the 17 with a timeout at 28 seconds. Who should win the game? But what do I get? I get a pass to Shakir, incomplete.
Right.
Anderson, holy great, cow, that
great,
guy.
Great play by Anderson.
In coverage?
There. Great play.
Or is it there. Does he knock the ball?
He jumped and he looked like he almost tried to pick it off. He might have gotten both hands on it, but he didn't squeeze it and it did.
Right.
But yeah. And that, you know, that was there.
So I'm throwing there. Man, this team in short yardage. Then fourth and one is Dawkins jumps.
Right.
And then the interception. Man, everything that happened last night could have just been erased.
And the interception is also, you know, I don't know. Allen doesn't get asked specifically about, like, what did you see there necessarily, right? He was asked, so what were you? He's like, I'm trying to get it to one of the open guys, right? And where he throws it, Palmer looks like he's going to the spot Allen throws it. There's a Houston defender right there, so it's going to be a 50-50 ball at best. But as it turns out, Palmer, at the last second, decides to go behind the defender and head like for the end zone almost. So, the ball does not go where Allen thought Palmer was going. But further to his left, Knox is open from like the middle of the field to the sideline. Knox, there, no one is covering Knox. And I just assume Allen did not see it. The rusher, there's a free rusher coming, of course, right? There's a free rusher coming at him that might have been right in his view of where Knox was. I don't know, because it's one of these plays that I think fans are, you know, we all pick and choose our hills to die on, right? But it's one of these plays that you can look at and go like, so like I am with the fourth down where he doesn't sneak it, right, on the one prior, the series prior, two prior. I'm not sure what happened here, but it's sort of inexplicable to me that you didn't just take the free yards. This play, I think a lot of fans are looking at going, how does he not see Knox over there?
I don't know.
And if he sees him, maybe that free rusher is right in the lane where if he's going to try to throw it to Knox, I don't know. But Knox is, look at it. There is nobody around Knox.
Well, I mean, I think it's been deserved, but I've given Allen so much credit for how heady he is and how much of a grasp he seems to have on down and distance and the clock and the score. Like, he's been nails at that. But this is not an example of that.
Right.
And, like, here, is he just exhausted?
Yeah, maybe.
This game must have taken such a toll on him.
Punch drunk, yeah.
This is like a must-win year. And I don't know. Who knows what's in his head? But
one fan, I think I tweeted that play. If not, I just saw comments. Like, one fan compared it to your criticism of him not throwing to Diggs in the playoffs 2 years ago.
Well,
and going for the end zone instead. Like, same sort of concept. Although Knox is further downfield than Diggs was on that play. But whatever. Same point. Like,
yeah, same point.
See, time is, you want to run more time on top of it. And I don't know if he just – I'm going to just hope he couldn't see him because of the guy coming at him. But I don't know.
This play is 100% about getting the first down. And Knox gets him the first down.
Yeah, easily.
And
yeah.
He's going for the kill
shot. He might even
score
on the play. He's so open.
Yeah. I don't know.
I just don't know what he is seeing there. Again, my best guess is that dude was blocking his view. I don't know.
It's – in his defense, you know, yeah. You'd want it to be right.
Right.
Football Friday on WGR. Sam Panayotovich at 5:30. Sabres and Blackhawks tonight downtown. Pregame at 6. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.